Well, as promised, you're in for a treat tonight. We've got Jay Dyer. He's been a friend of the channel for many years, and he goes deep into the research on the likes of Epstein, esoteric Hollywood, cults, conspiracies, you name it. Before we get into it, though, guys, wherever you are watching this in the world, we've already got 1,000 on YouTube. Put your questions in the chat. As Jay expands on the subjects here, I'm storing all of the questions, and I will get them to him at some point. So, Jay, the first question is, you know, I'm going to ask you this for viewers who are not familiar with your brilliant work. What qualifies you to speak on these subjects?
Well, I guess my qualifications, first of all, are somewhat academic. I did study the relationship of psychological warfare to fiction and propaganda at the university level. So a lot of my grad work focused on that. Aside from that, I'm an avid reader. I grew up with a mom who was an editor and a librarian, so I was always surrounded by thousands of books. So it's very natural to me to read through a lot of these really boring texts from the elite. A lot of times they actually admit what they're up to and how they do it in their books. So that's what I try to do, is digest those books, kind of put it into ways that everybody can understand it. So we go through a lot of heavy information, a lot of deep texts, a lot of these big scandals that you're talking about today, Franklin cover up, Epstein, Maxwell, and now Diddy. But I think another thing that qualifies me to speak about it is that my book came out of Esoteric Hollywood 1 in about 2016, I think, somewhere in there, the first one. And, you know, I was actually writing about the types of things that have come out now. I'm not saying that I'm a prophet. I'm just saying that I think Hollywood was kind of telling us that this is what they're up to. And the same goes for the music industry. So I think my two books on this have actually been pretty well vindicated.
All right, viewers. In the description box on YouTube, all of Jay's links are down there, his X, his YouTube. Please support his work. Before we get deeper into it then, Jay, what were your preliminary instinctual thoughts when this Diddy indictment first came down?
Well, there have been rumors for a long time. As you know, people like Professor Griff, even, I don't know that he mentioned Diddy explicitly, but many, many years ago in the early 2000s, you know, Professor Griff from Public Enemy was saying that there is this movement within the realm of the world of hip hop to compromise people, and even said that they use rituals. And I think later on, we had certain rappers coming out saying that this was going on, but they never really wanted to name exactly who was involved. It was always just kind of whispers. And then we had Cat Williams, right? Allegedly, right? They're doing stuff with booty holes, okay? I mean, we had Cat Williams come out and basically just say everything about a year ago on that giant podcast with Shay, whatever his name is. So we kind of knew that this was going on, and there have been many other cases in other domains that maybe overlap with Diddy. So I felt like that's got to be what's going on. It's most likely what's happening. We did a bunch of podcasts about 7 months ago when it first really hit the news. And then when this, you know, when he was arrested, you know, a week or so ago, I think it was all what we expected.
All right, so there's been this reoccurring theme of the white visual code. And let me just read you this comment. You know how Hollywood uses everyone dressed as white as visual code for cult? That's from the 3HO Kundalini yoga cult that started in LA by Yogi Bhajan. Any thoughts on the symbolism of the white clothes?
Yeah, it's interesting. One thing that I've come across that I haven't seen many other people talk about is the connection between Diddy and voodoo, possibly. And that's because people forgotten that he was with J-Lo for a year back in the 2000s. They were married for about a year. And one of J-Lo's exes came out and said many years ago, it was in the Huffington Post, that she's really into voodoo and Santeria. And then if you notice Diddy's tattoo on his back, people think that's Mary and Jesus. It's not. It's actually a voodoo deity called Ezuli Danto. And she's the patron of, shall we say, Skittles men, if you catch my drift. So it's not Mary and Joseph. It's the Loa from voodoo, and she's the patron of men who like men in voodoo. And so I think that that's what's going on. And in voodoo, white is very important for, it's a symbol of purity, becoming purified. And I suspect that's what's going on.
All right. We've got loads of questions on the community wall as well. So a question that came in today for you from Leo Allen, is the Diddy story a distraction for something bigger that is going on?
No, I don't think so. I think Diddy is probably somebody who was brought into this and was taught the ways of doing this by people above him, people like Clive Davis and others, probably, I'm guessing. And then he learned how to use these, you know, blackmail rings and do this stuff, which, again, all these other scandals that we've talked about and heard about for so long, Franklin cover-up, Epstein. You notice it's the same model where there's cameras behind, you know, windows, cameras behind mirrors, et cetera. And that's to, you know, catch people in the act. I think he's basically taking the fall for something much bigger. Epstein, same thing. He took the fall. It implicates people a lot bigger than him. So no, I don't think it's a distraction. I think it's a real, you know, at a certain point when you abuse people for decades, people are going to start talking about it.
I don't know if you've watched the video with Jonathan Odie, who shot up a Trump hotel. You have watched it. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, he's talking about links to secret societies, black secret societies, and the cops are looking at him like he was crazy back then, but now it's all coming out. What's your interpretation of the Jonathan Odie interview?
Well, I think he didn't help his case because he was kind of an erratic, sort of crazy acting individual, obviously. But certainly those kinds of people can still say true things and they might know what's going on. So I don't know about all the details of every aspect of a story, but it's interesting that 7 months ago, I did not remember that event where he had shot up the Trump location. But 7 months ago, I was on Sam Hyde's podcast, and about half of the podcast, we were just devoting it to Diddy, the connection to the Boulle Society, black secret societies, how they do have their own organized crime outfit. You know, Diddy was raised ultimately originally in the circles of Frank Lucas. His mom got him out of those circles, tried to get him away from that, but then he ends up back eventually kind of in these circles of black gangsters and the overlap with the music industry. So, I mean, I think that what that guy was saying is probably has elements of truth in it.
Glenn's asking about connections to Bilderberg.
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure because all these high-level people overlap, I'm sure there's somebody that relates to Bilderberg. I mean, you know, Oprah, for example, was closely associated with and was promoting John of God. And John of God was doing a baby farming operation where he was essentially selling children through these women that were, you know, just basically producing offspring that he could then sell online to Europe and places like that for tens of thousands of dollars. And you know, when Oprah was pushing that guy and that came out, that all got squashed really quick, Oprah's connections. So Oprah, although I don't know that she's exactly in Bilderberg, she is part of another little group called the Good Club, which includes Bill Gates, George Soros, Warren Buffett. This was reported on by The Guardian some years ago. And their whole modus operandi is depopulation. So I would say that maybe not directly, but indirectly, that it would relate to Bilderberg people, sure.
Are you saying that Oprah's not an altruistic humanitarian, Jay?
I mean, I think, you know, for people that usually reach, I would say it's very rare for billionaires to be altruistic. Maybe there's been a few, but most of the time you're probably compromised in some way.
All right, we've got a question here from the YouTube community wall from Debbie. Does Jay think that these media announcements made by individuals claiming to have tapes and threatening to sell or release them are a way of communicating to the other players involved rather than being actual possible leaks?
It's possible. Again, anything is possible, because when these kind of stories break, you can have people from within the establishment working overtime that are PR people. They'll come out and try to put out fake stories and fake information. And they do that on purpose to dilute and to diffuse people figuring out what's really going on. So the establishment will kind of flood it with disinfo. And so you could have disinfo. You could have people that just want to try to make money. You know, they claim to have this or that. They want to get attention. You know, that woman that was saying that it's a lot of satanic rituals, I wouldn't be surprised, but she could also be doing this to just get attention. Who knows? So anything's possible.
Are you on about Jaguar rights allegations?
Yeah, the black woman that was, I forget which, was she on Piers Morgan or something? I forget which show she was on, yeah.
She was interesting. All right, so question from Carmen. Why isn't Drake being pulled in yet? He's being exposed as someone that actually does the things he sings about. Horrible things. Is he untouchable like Epstein clients?
Good question. I mean, I haven't put a lot of time into researching Drake and his connections. I know a lot of people were making a big stink when he was texting Millie Bobby Brown some years back. That was a little suspicious. She was underage. That seemed to be an odd connection. So I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't some kind of proclivity there. Remember R. Kelly, he also set up a sex cult and was trying to run an operation very similar to this. So it seems to be a pattern. Why? But yeah, maybe Drake is a level above Diddy. I don't know.
One of the most reoccurring questions right now, Jay, is if it will be linked to BlackRock in any way, the Diddy case.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't looked at that angle. But again, you know, one thing you find is that at a very high level, a lot of this stuff is usually overlapping because of the people are in multiple different networks and circles. So I would say if you look at, for example, the Roman Catholic abuse pedo stuff of the last several decades, you'll find a lot of parallels with those operations as well. It's kind of a technology of compromise. It's the same pattern and maybe like structure of how they do this. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's not connections to people at that level. I'm sure there is.
You know, in your intro, you mentioned about Epstein and you mentioned about the Franklin scandal. What parallels do you see with those cases with the Diddy case?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, there's several. There's King Cora, there's Elm Guesthouse, there's Franklin. I did a podcast maybe a week ago, where I was covering all of these that I could think of and find that had similar patterns. And so I think I came up with about 16 of these cases where you had this element of a network that is kind of in on it. Doesn't have to be a whole lot of people. It can be a handful of people. And this essentially, they are utilizing espionage techniques to lure and entrap people in a way in situations that either they're willing or not willing. So you might have a situation where people are drugged. They wake up next to a prostitute. they wake up next to somebody underage. Hey, we got you on tape. You messed up last night. You shouldn't have done that. But look, we're gonna help you out. We're gonna be your friend. That seems to be really obvious and what's going on in the Epstein situation. If you read in depth into that, he obviously had a lot of capabilities that really only intelligence agencies would have access to and abilities to utilize. And so we know, for example, Epstein had different citizenships. So he could be in Israel. He could be in Saudi Arabia. He could be in a lot of different places because he was facilitated with those luxuries, so to speak. And I think that, again, only suggests a higher level intelligence involvement. And I think there's a similar pattern here with Diddy, where there's been a long time suspicion, for example, that he in some way was compromised or working with the FBI. He had even had Kanye, you know, tweeting at him or replying in text messages, "You a Fed, F you," right? Like years ago, Kanye was saying that Diddy was essentially a Fed. And that could go back to when he was investigated by the FBI or in the early 2000s. I forget what exactly the scandal was back then, but he might have been turned at that point, right? And so how is he getting away with this for so long? Oh, well, he's part of an operation probably. So that's a parallel that we see, is that the people that run the operations usually have higher level connections, intelligence connections, private intelligence connections, military intelligence, who knows? Another element we see is, again, pretty sophisticated technology, gadgetry, and ways of filming people, essentially. And this is what led, I think, you know, if you read, say, Whitney Webb's book, this is what kind of led the Ghislaine side of things to come up with, I think they invented Netscape Navigator, if that's right. That Ghislaine's sister invented the, or started the company that would invent Netscape Navigator. And originally this was like part of the spy world. So they wanted a way to like gather and collate information, probably originally for people that they profiled. But this turns into a search engine, essentially. And they ended up selling it, I think, to Bill Gates, to Microsoft. So you can see a lot of patterns with the way to classify and structure the information that compromises people. That's another parallel that we see. And ultimately, it's just a way to control people. So,
question from LRM, MTV and VH1, are they involved?
I would say with Diddy, there's no telling how many people are involved because it's just now been coming out. In fact, I was seeing old clips today of Obama, you know, sitting there talking about how awesome Diddy's parties are, how great he is. So I would say that there's no telling, right? Remember, Franklin scandal went all the way up to the Bush senior White House, where you had call boys brought in for the GOP. No different amongst the Democrats. It would appear that Obama's been to Diddy parties. Michelle apparently was also having a lot of fun at the Diddy parties. So I would say, yeah, I'm sure a lot of executives at different television networks, VH1, I'm sure everybody was involved. Allegedly.
So Jay, in the Franklin case, the only people who went to prison were the survivors, the witnesses. The investigator goes down in a plane crash, I think with his son, tragically. I'm watching Busby call out everyone under the sun, from corporate executives to Big Pharma. Do you think, because I just watched an interview with him today with Chris Hansen, whereby he's saying his wife's telling him he needs to get 24-hour security now, things are getting heavy. Do you think Busby is at risk of being in a plane crash or catching fast-acting pneumonia or any one of these ways that they seem to put people out of action with?
I mean, I think anybody who's got dirt or claims to have dirt or is whistleblowing, absolutely. As you know, I think you and I did many interviews about Epstein. I think, obviously, we don't think Epstein killed himself. And so that would, again, suggest, and I did a chat with Sammy the Bull as well, and he said, you know, I've been in that Supermax. There's no way that he could have pulled this off without, you know, people wanting him to be dead. So absolutely, I think there is a real danger. This kind of gives credence to, you know, remember Star Whackers when Randy Quaid was talking about that many, many years ago? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I never saw it.
Well, no, it's he said, he was saying a long time ago, the actor Randy Quaid, he was saying, Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid left Hollywood and he said, you know, the Star Whacker stuff is real. And what he meant was there are hitmen that if you come out against this stuff, especially in Hollywood, there's a network, there's a crew of hitmen that will come after you. So I would say,
Wow. K.L. Coca. Does Jay think Beyonce is a satanic high priestess? I get the feeling she's extremely evil. So we had a psychic remote viewer on Friday night, and she was rating people on the demonic scale. And I think she gave Beyonce like an 8 or a 9. They were really high. She was tied with Oprah.
Sean, how did you rank on the demon scale? Like, where were you at? Were you like a 3 or what? I'm curious what the demon scale is, but where am I on? Is that, do I want to be at the top or do I want to be low? Which one? Am I
number? You want to be demon? Low. You want to be low.
That doesn't make me number one demon. Anyway, so yeah, I would say my wife wrote in her book a couple chapters actually on Beyonce, and I think there's a long history of Beyonce probably being involved in witchcraft and Crowleyanism. And so I would say she's probably a witch. I don't know how serious she takes Satanism per se, but a lot of those groups kind of overlap as well. So if you're into Crowleyanism, I mean, that kind of overlaps with Wicca, because the founder of modern Wicca, Gerald Gardner, comes out of Crowleyanism. So there's a lot of overlap there. I wouldn't be surprised. I think, I mean, Jay-Z and Beyonce have been pretty open about their interest in Aleister Crowley for a long time, going back to the 2000s. In fact, one of the first blog posts I ever put up was Jay-Z when he was wearing his Crowley hoodie. And, you know, that was probably 2007. So, yeah, I think there's a great possibility that she's a witch.
So is it the case that the majority of these mega celebrities have had to go through some kind of ritual and compromise themselves to get the promotions to get where they are? Is that just par for the course, or it was at least?
That's been my theory for a long time, going back to reading a lot of books on the occult and a lot of, at the same time, back in the 2000s, I was reading a lot of books on how power structures work. I didn't know a lot about organized crime and the mafia at that time, but as I later learned and read about that stuff, I started noticing, well, hey, wait a minute, you got to make your bones. You got to demonstrate that you're committed to the organization. This is really parallel to what you see in intelligence agencies, right? So, and then I was reading a lot on cults over the years, and I sort of said, well, cults expect the same thing. So there's a really close parallel between like what you would be expected to do if you're going to be, you know, in the CIA, what you're expected to do if you're, you know, under Tony Soprano, and what you're expected to do if you're going to be in some cult run by some, you know, sex freak or whatever. And most of these cults, as you would imagine, are run by sex freaks. So it seems like that's an easy pattern to go to, probably because of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And a lot of people don't know, if you get into the history of Abraham Maslow, when he was doing that hierarchy of needs stuff, that was for MKUltra. It was an adjacent to MKUltra program, because at that time the CIA wanted an easy kind of list of ways to profile world leaders. So they were saying, hey, can you come up with some kind of like structure to a profile to say, what's motivating Putin? You know, what's motivating, you know, President Xi, whoever? You know, is this a guy who's first and foremost interested in sex? Is he interested in pure power? Like, what's his real motivations? And Maslow, you know, obviously he put, I think, sexuality pretty high up there. That's like you're after food. That's a pretty, you know, love, food, sex. It's a pretty high drive. And if you think about it from the vantage point of an intelligence agency or organized crime or whatever, I just did a lecture on this history book, Sex Espionage, which ties into a lot of this. That's a history of this practice. And you can tell there's nothing new to this. People, governments, kings have known for millennia that this is one of the easiest ways to blackmail people. So I think it makes perfect sense that cults would do this, humiliation rituals, even if you don't believe in the occult or any of that kind of stuff. Like, a humiliation ritual just makes sense on a pragmatic control level.
All right, we've got 4,000 watching live across all platforms, 3,500 on YouTube. So if you are on YouTube, Jay's links are in the description box below this video. He's got his X, he's got his YouTube, and there's more. Please go down, follow, and support his important work. It incentivizes the guests to come back and be so generous with their time like this. Now, we cannot have an evening like this without bringing the Clinton crime family into it. What's your thoughts on the Clinton crime family, Jay, just in general first?
Well, I think that if you go back to the origins of Bill and Hillary, and, you know, Bill coming out of Arkansas, and I think both of them pretty early on were spotted by people at a high level. You know, Arkansas is also the Rockefeller state. That's where the Rockefellers are based. If you go down there, you'll notice a lot of elements of homage to the Clintons, to the Rockefellers. It's also, by the way, people don't know about Hot Springs. It's an old mafia meeting place. Goes back to the days of Al Capone and even Kennedy Sr., Joe Sr. There was a lot of deals that were made. This was pre-Vegas. So pre-Vegas, the mobsters would all go meet in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And there's that. I don't think any of that's accidental. I think there's a lot of connections there. And so the Clintons were kind of seen probably as potential people to be groomed into fairly high level controllers. I don't think they're necessarily at the top of the pyramid, but they're very high up on the managerial structure of the world order. They were spotted probably at university, probably CIA or even Rockefeller level people, Rockefeller Foundation recruits. And then they were sort of groomed into kind of, you know, going up the ladder, being, Bill's governor of Arkansas. That's all taking place at the time of the MENA, Arkansas CIA scandals, where they're bringing in the cocaine. You have Watergate. You have all of these, Whitewater, the Whitewater real estate scandals early on in the Clinton administration. And it's funny you said that, because people have forgotten Chinagate. And then in later on in Whitney's book in Volume 2, there's a whole excellent section on Chinagate and how China was donating tons of money to the Clinton campaign. If you remember, in the 90s, it was a huge scandal. I mean, I was in high school at the time, and I remember it being a big scandal about why is China donating this money? And there's so many Chinese operatives involved in the Democratic Party. And that's all true. And it ties into Epstein, because that's right at the same time that Epstein was kind of making linkages with the Clintons. They were longtime buddies. Epstein at one time in the 90s, I think, donated several $10,000, $20,000 to the Clinton campaign. So I think that was, they were groomed into becoming another one of these Clinton Global Initiative NGO foundation think tank control operation things, much like Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, all of those entities like that. They're really just big organized crime structures.
Got about five more Clinton questions coming off the back of that. How do you think Clinton became governor and president?
I think he was, there's an old clip where David Rockefeller, it's either a CFR meeting or a trilateral commission meeting in the early to mid 90s. It's an old C-SPAN clip, because C-SPAN used to air like the live CFR and trilateral meetings, right? Nobody would watch it, because in the 90s, right, like C-SPAN was super boring. Why would you watch C-SPAN when you can watch, like, you know, Don LaPree? And do you remember, you're not from the US, so you don't know who Don LaPree is, but in the 1990s, right, nobody would watch C-SPAN, but C-SPAN was like airing all of this stuff all the time, which if you paid attention, it would tell you like everything that's going on. But I just found, for example, do you know who Victor Ostrovsky is?
I've heard the name.
Yeah. So he's the famous Mossad guy who left the Mossad, and then he wrote By Way of Deception, which is a famous book. Anyway, I found old C-SPAN talks where him just explaining for like 2 hours on C-SPAN the way all these operations work, which you would never see that on TV. Like, anyway. Anyway, long story short, David Rockefeller gets up there in one of these clips. You can probably find it on YouTube or BitChute. But, and he says, I'd like to thank Bill Clinton here, my boy. I don't mean literally my boy. He could be, I don't know. But he's basically saying that I brought him to power.
Yeah, I'll add a little bit to that. I've written a book called Clinton, Bush, and CIA Conspiracies. I'll have to send you a copy of that, Jay.
Oh, yeah.
And my theory is that Clinton would play ball with these guys. They knew it. He was the most compromisable,
yes,
sleaziest governor out of the states. And this is why the CIA picked,
yes,
Arkansas to do the drug drop. Mm-hmm. And because he played ball and provided security for the drug drops and eliminated Kevin Ives and Don Henry, the boys on the tracks, covered it all up with Fahmy Malik,
yes,
the guy who said they just smoked weed and fell asleep, ridiculous. Because he played ball with the Bush crime family, the CIA, Oliver North, etc., he parlayed that into the White House.
Oh, no, that's absolutely correct. Yeah, I mean, I could have gone, go deeper into like Daniel Hopsicker's book on that, Barry and the Boys with Barry Seal, all that stuff. Absolutely. And like Bradley Johnson says there, Rhodes Scholar is the avenue by which, even Quigley says, that's the avenue where you're really brought up into the power structure. So you're recruited into CFR trilateral through like Rhodes Scholarship and CIA too. Yeah.
All right. We're halfway through our hour with Jay Dyer. Get your questions in, folks. They are backing up. I am saving them all and slowly getting through them. And please subscribe to his channel. Question from Christian. Does Jay see a link between the Clintons and the slaughter in Waco as a ritual or just a foul up?
I think that was probably a show of power. I remember when it happened, and then I remember afterwards, that was around the time I first stumbled upon shall we say, Lord Voldemort's documentary. He did a documentary very early on about Waco. And, you know, his thesis in that documentary, I think, has been borne out, which is that this is really just the government saying, we don't care anymore about your civil liberties, constitutional rights. We don't care. So that was a sort of, I think it's a show of force. There could have been, you know, a higher level occult ritual aspect to it. I don't know about that specifically, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Thoughts on Seth Rich and the Clintons?
I don't think that that had anything to do with Russia gate or Russian hacking. I think that he found out what was really going on, and they probably had to take him out, just like Michael, who's the guy, the reporter, Rolling Stone reporter, same situation. He was going to report on the generals and the drug trade, and then his car is commandeered and it crashes. Michael Hastings, same situation.
All right, I'll take a question from the YouTube community wall, and that is from KC. Can Jay address Kubrick's films that attempted to expose the dark side of the entertainment system, particularly The Shining and Eyes Wide Shut?
Well, absolutely. In fact, that's the first 100 pages of my first book. So the thing that like hipped me to this when I wrote, and I didn't write this book in 2016, a lot of these essays I wrote in 2010 and 11. And so the introduction to my book is Film as Ritual. And the entire first 100 pages is Hollywood Babylon and Kubrick. And so that encompasses, first chapter is Eyes Wide Shut. Second chapter is The Shining. And then, so I would say absolutely.
All right. Let me go over to the next question. Let's see. Why was Trump allowed to beat Hillary? Wasn't the other way around? Hillary was allowed to beat Trump. Didn't Trump get bamboozled?
There was a really good article by Roger Stone, I thought, years ago. I don't know if it's still available, but it was about the specific CIA guy that they used to rig things, shall we say. I don't know what YouTube does and doesn't. But no, I think that they really thought Hillary was going to win.
Liam is asking, is there a second list? I think this is to do with the Diddy case.
Yeah, I mean, that's hearsay. I don't know yet. There was a fake video going around alleging another list that Diddy was going to release or whatever, but that was actually like a TikTok fake video. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't think there's, I mean, like they're scrubbing, you saw the celebrities scrubbing all their old tweets about Diddy. Did you see that?
Yes.
So, yeah. So like, I think they're mopping up the receipts right now.
So Diddy's lawyers bragging that Diddy's going to go to trial. He ain't copping for no plea bargain. Do you think that it will play out? It will go all the way to trial, plea bargain, or he'll get Epstein'd?
I was going to say, I mean, let's put it this way. If this is like the level of people and the number of people like Epstein, as we suspected, then I don't think Diddy will, I mean, Diddy won't be around too much longer.
So my theory is that they protect you in the beginning, like we saw the sweetheart deal with Epstein. But when the legal problems multiply to the point where they can't stop them anymore, as the legal problems multiply, in proportion, you become a liability to these elites and they'll just snuff you out. But wouldn't that be too obvious if they did that? I mean, they've done it to Epstein. They did it to Jean-Luc Brunel. Maxwell got a pass, I think, because of her connection to the Clinton crime family. Do you think if they snuffed Diddy out, it would just be a bit too obvious, or they make it look really like something, maybe an illness, or
yeah, there's a lot of different ways they could do it, but also they don't seem to really care. I mean, I think if they're really concerned about whether this would wake people up, they wouldn't have done that to Epstein. So they don't really seem to care. I mean, in the history of espionage, when this happens, it pretty much backs up what you're saying, Sean, like when you become too much of a liability, it's just better to just get rid of them.
Jay, we haven't spoken to you since there's been all these assassination attempts on Trump, and a few people have put that in the chat. What were your thoughts on when that went down?
I don't think that it was staged. I think that they really did try to do that. I think there's a lot of the weight of the evidence is on the side of it doesn't mean Trump's an angel or that he's perfect, but I think that, you know, different sections or groups within the power structure, different gangs within the power structure, they really do hate Trump, a lot of them. It doesn't make Trump a hero. So we got to not think in dialectics, because you can have two gangs trying to kill the other gang leader's leader. And it doesn't mean the gang leader that's getting killed is like the hero or a saint. It just means that there's two bad guys fighting. So in the case of Trump, I really do think that there's a faction that would love to get rid of him. If anything, because they are more worried about what he represents than he himself, because even the degree of, you know, conspiracy awakening that Trump has hipped people to in the last 8 years of fake news, other things I won't mention on YouTube. And I know he has huge flaws too, because of, you know, warp speed, etc. But I think they're more worried about the base waking up than Trump himself.
Question from FE. I've not heard this before. Did you hear about a lot of these rappers having been rented for weekends to gay millionaires in Saudi Arabia?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if you're willing to do whatever to become a rap, you know, famous rapper, like, why wouldn't you do that? Sure. So, I mean, I've been saying fat rap's fake and gay for a long time, but I mean, I think this kind of vindicates.
And if you look at the stats that the lawyer Busby put out, he said he thought it was going to be mostly women, and the alleged victims are half men. He said he was quite surprised by that.
Did you see the video somebody posted? It was going around of French Montana and Diddy.
No, what's on that?
It's just them acting. They're oiled up with a lot of baby oil. And they're not acting very masculine, shall we say, and they're almost naked, and it's a birthday party. I mean, I'm just saying, like, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Someone just asked, where can they watch InfoWars these days? I've been watching it on X.
Yeah, Alex usually puts the fourth hour every time I do it, and pretty much every show on X, but there's always still a band.video too.
All right, we've got 20 minutes left with Jay Dyer. We've got almost 5,000 watching across all platforms. Please put your questions in. This is your last chance. And also, Jay's links are in the description box in the YouTube version. Please support his important work. He's been a friend of the channel for years. He's come on here talking about many cases that the mainstream media have not wanted us talking about. And you know, we love his in-depth research. I'm going to get a question from the dashboard then, from the community wall. This is from Lena. Will Oprah give back thousands of acres of Maui land that she purchased? Will she give them back to the native Maui people?
No, of course not. I think a lot of these people at that level, that they really get off on hurting people. I think there's a certain level of sickness that you get to when you're, when you've burned out your pleasure centers in your brain, your dopamine centers, and really the only thing that gives you pleasure is like the most depraved type of stuff. So I think they actually get off on hurting people. So I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, that's absolutely sickening. So let's see. Put a one in the chat if you think Oprah is trustworthy. Put a two in the chat if you do not think Oprah is trustworthy. Yes, lab management. Do not idolize celebrities. Right, let me go back to the questions 1 second. All right. So is Elon Musk trustworthy? That's from Open Space.
I think it would be foolish to distrust anybody that's a high level person, just because so many high level people have gotten there by ill-gotten gains. I don't have any personal negative opinions of Elon, but I wouldn't trust anybody in the billionaire sphere. I would assume that. I want to hope for the best, but I don't trust anybody like that.
99.9% on the Oprah poll, number two. What is the Trilateral Commission? That's from Ubiquity.
So basically, in the early 70s, Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller, very powerful people, obviously, got together and said, we've read this book by this guy named Zbigniew Brzezinski, and we should basically create a steering committee just for him. And so they basically gave him this higher level committee called the Trilateral Commission, which would basically be kind of, you have the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a lot of media, a lot of propaganda, a lot of discussions about how to run things in terms of foreign policy. And that's sort of a higher level steering committee that, they created for ZBIG.
So we've got a question from Benny here. My gut instinct, Benny, is anything that gets big, mm-hmm. whether it's a humanitarian cause, whether it is a business, especially music and media and movies, anything that gets big gets co-opted by the dark forces. Benny's asking, was rap taken over and turned into a psyop, or is it just whack these days?
I think it was taken over and turned into a psyop. There was a long time rumor that the executives at MTV noticed the potentiality of hip hop being turned to social engineering designs, and they essentially created gangster rap, used it as a social engineering tool. Put a lot of people in jail, create a lot of thugs, create a lot of business for the private prison complex. And so, yeah, I think it was absolutely something engineered. That doesn't mean rap itself. I mean, I think Black people were, you know, organically creating hip hop, but then that was something that, the elites socially engineered.
Jay's got a follow-up question on the trilateral. Do you think all involved with Trilateral Commission are compromised?
I don't think necessarily every person who goes into that has to be compromised, because there's a lot of people who believe in the system and they want to support it and further it, and they're fully on board. So you don't have to be a sexual degenerate or some weirdo to be part of something like that. But it certainly helps, I think, if you're in the power structure for them to control you. So, for example, a lot of people in the CFR or Trilateral, they might just be like an academic or a professor or some bureaucrat. But I wouldn't be surprised if they aren't all compromised.
Wow, here's an interesting one. Reminds me of David Icke. Does Jay think Nephilim hybrids are among us today? And has he heard of the author Russ Dizdar and the Black Awakening?
I have. I think that's more so in the sphere of like evangelical end time stuff, which I'm not really in that domain. So, I mean, I suppose it's possible that there are Nephilim or whatever, but I've not seen like any good evidence of it.
Don wants to know whether Tom Hanks has anything to worry about.
I think over the years, people have pointed out a lot of odd things about Tom Hanks, connections, weird skits that he's done, seemingly inappropriate type stuff. But I don't know of any particular damning evidence that's solid, but I wouldn't be surprised. I think a lot of those people at that level, again, are going to be compromised. So I won't be surprised, but I don't know anything specifically about Tom Hanks. I mean, he's friends with all the same people we're talking about.
So looking at the old videos of Justin Bieber and Diddy, where they put in the body bump to him and they seem to be groping him and stuff, what do you think happened there? Do you think something heinous happened?
Just from the body language, my suspicion is yes. I mean, again, I don't know, but it does look like the way Bieber is acting is like he's very uncomfortable. There was another video somebody put up too of like a bunch of other celebrities acting really weird with him, and he seemed to really be feeling awkward. So judging by the body language, I would say, yeah, it's also just weird to begin with. Why is he spending the night at Diddy's house? Like, that just seems bizarre. It's totally inappropriate.
Here's another esoteric one. Directed energy weapons and 9/11 and Maui. Any thoughts?
I don't have any. I don't necessarily think anything DEW was used in 9/11. I mean, it's always possible, but. And I'm very familiar with the evidence. I know about Kathy Woods. I know about all that stuff. I think it just makes more sense. A simpler explanation is just that they already had things there to go off, to pop off, and that it was a controlled thing. I know about the cars and the melted stuff, and I know about all that. I just don't think it's very convincing. We don't have to jump to like these wild things. People like to jump to like the wildest sensational stuff when there's a lot simpler explanations for what went down probably. So could there have been DEWs in Maui? I suppose, but also there could have just been a fire.
What really happened in Delphi, Indiana to Liberty German and Abigail Williams?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. Is this the Delphi murders? The last I saw about the Delphi murders was that they suspected the person that was behind it was involved in like neo-pagan, like Wotan type stuff, if I recall.
Paula wants to know, how does The Simpsons seem to predict events?
A lot of those, I think, are coincidences, but also the writers and producers of The Simpsons are famously and publicly from Evergreen College. And Evergreen College has a long time history of also being tied to the CIA. So I would say that that's very plausible. I mean, it may sound crazy to people, but I mean, I wrote two books. I'm working on the third book right now about the long history of intelligence agencies in Hollywood. So it's not actually that crazy.
Thanks for the super chat, Texas, but I am unable to say that last word because of YouTube's community guidelines. It's got many people in trouble, many associates of mine in trouble. But I will do, because Jay, you mentioned Zbigniew Brzezinski, and I know you've researched the hell out of him and Kissinger. And my impression is that we're being sold these wars mm-hmm. by a philosophy with roots in Brzezinski and Kissinger and the neocons mm-hmm. and this thing with Iran and Ukraine. It's all about the military-industrial complex. And you know, all the mainstream media are like, yeah, Putin's this boogeyman. But really, they're trying to trick people. So our taxpayers' money, trillions of it, can be spent on just blowing people up all over the world, which is obscene to me. What do you think about these wars, Jay?
Oh, it's like Smedley Butler said, war is a racket. You know, they play on your innate natural desire for defending your family, your homeland, your tribe. And they manipulate that healthy desire to go fight for essentially the Fortune 100, Fortune 500. So that's totally what it's about. It has nothing to do with patriotism or defending the homeland. It has to do with imperial expansion, profits for, you know, Raytheon, Boeing, you know, military industrial complex, but not just the MIC, also Starbucks. I mean, McDonald's. I mean, you're fighting to ensure that, you know, people in Iraq get a McDonald's. And I just don't think that's people are tired of dying for that. It's not worth dying for.
Is Oprah more powerful than Diddy?
I would, at this juncture, suggest yeah. I mean, Diddy wasn't invited to a meeting with Warren Buffett and George Soros and Bill Gates on how to get rid of everybody, but Oprah was.
Do you think Mel Gibson knew the depravity of Hollywood?
Yes. In fact, I'm sure you've seen it. Probably it's gone around. There was a clip that surfaced from the mid to late 90s. I forget which movie he had just made, but it was probably one of the Lethal Weapons in the mid 90s. And he's basically saying, I had no idea Hollywood was this dark. And then he goes into a long story of certain actors that he'd hung out with, producers and others who were into really, really depraved stuff. He doesn't exactly say who. People are kind of theorizing who he's talking about. But yeah, I think he was saying this in the 90s.
Almost 5K in the chat. We've got 10 minutes left with Jay. Get your questions in, folks, and please support his YouTube channel. And the question here is your thoughts on the Finders.
Yeah, in fact, that was one of the ones in my list of these types of operations. I think that was an obvious, you know, CIA-connected operation, FBI declassified all of that stuff a few years ago, which, by the way, keep in mind, for a long time, people said this is all crazy conspiracy theories. They said the same thing about the claims about the McMartin preschool. The FBI declassified those documents, too. It turns out there were tunnels. That was in the declassified documents. And with the Finders, it turns out a lot of that was true. So remember, when you hear initially that the mainstream media is saying, oh, this is all crazy, and then years later, we get the declassified documents. That doesn't mean that it's all true, but a lot of times the essentials or the basic principles are true. And so, yeah, I would say the Finders is another one of these situations where human, TRAFFICKING, is connected to new agey schools they've set up for children. But really, this is just a way to sell people.
May the Force has asked, is Coca-Cola still the largest trucking company in the world and could transport anything covered up by their logo?
I don't know if they're the largest, but one thing you do learn, like, for example, when you get into a lot of these high profile scandals and criminal cover-ups, you find that they are sometimes using high level corporations for these operations. I don't know in the case of Coke, obviously, but for example, if you get into say the Vatican Bank scandals and Operation Gladio, you'll find out that some of the biggest, say, insurance companies were originally CIA creations. So it's very possible. And they were using shipping containers during World War II and after to bring in Sicilian heroin. So, yeah, it's very possible.
Question from Joan. How do you account for Epstein's body being wheeled out with his face uncovered? It doesn't happen by professionals like NYC EMT. Especially with high profile people, seems like theater.
Yeah, it could be. It's a great question.
You know, and there is the theory that he's still alive and he's on some island with the guy from Enron.
He's on the Pleasure Island with a Tattoo and Ricardo Montalban. You know, what's it called? The TV show with Ricardo Montalban, where the Pleasure Island, and then it, yeah.
He's down there with Kenneth Lay. Yeah. Someone's asked about 20 times. Ask Jay what he knows about Rachel Chandler.
I forget which thing is this. Is she some girl that disappeared? I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not familiar either. We're down to our last fantasy island. We're down to our last 5 minutes. Yalini, do you think Diddy and Epstein were connected as part of a chain together?
Somebody was theorizing this the other day. I wouldn't be surprised because, again, a lot of these things overlap. I don't know if that has been substantiated yet. Sean, have you seen anything substantiating that yet?
No, it seems that with Diddy, you've got, it's not as steeped in intelligence honey trap operations. It is honey trap, but it seems to be more it's more confined. It doesn't seem to have that bigger picture. That makes sense. You know, you got Maxwell and Maxwell's dad and Promise Software. And, you know, the Epstein thing just went high in intelligence.
Yeah, massive. Yeah.
As Acosta said, it was above his pay grade.
Yeah.
We've got what Odie said about the linkage to the secret societies. And he did link it to the private jets transporting substances.
Yes.
So
I forgot to mention that there
is some linkage, but I don't think it's as deep in the intelligence community as Epstein was.
Do you, Sean, think given your experience and knowledge of all this stuff, is it plausible that private jets of hip hop stars could be used as a way to move product like that?
Yeah, I think that's totally credible from Jonathan Odie. You know, I think that the private jets are moving people and substances all over the world as we speak, whether they're private jets for celebs, execs, intelligence. It's prolific, isn't it? Meanwhile, the average person can't get through an airport because of all of the security checks.
Exactly.
While these people run all that stuff. Question from Open Space. Where does Madonna fit into the darkness of the industry? Wasn't she into Kabbalah at one point? How has she not been into any dark dealings?
Oh, she was into Kabbalah from the early 2000s even, and still is. In fact, she just put on a concert, I think in Dallas, and it was still full of all the same satanic imagery. That video was going all around. I think we covered it on my channel as well. So no, she's never gone away. I think she's sort of just kind of faded away because she was kind of the high priestess of pop culture and pop music, the high witch of pop music, and then kind of bequeathed this to other, you know, pop stars they initiated into that role, like Britney Spears or Katy Perry or Beyonce. They kind of took the mantle. I mean, you know, Madonna's gotten to be, she's a grandma age, so I think she's less relevant for pop culture, but she is still into Kabbalah and still pushes all the same sort of esoteric stuff.
You're getting asked for your thoughts on the power and reach of the UK royal family.
Well, you know, one of the things I didn't get to that I was going to bring up was King Cora. I'm sure you're familiar with that one. And that one, the King Cora boys home scandal, that also that parallels to Boys Town in the Franklin scandal. It's very similar to Elm Guest House, and King Cora included MPs like Cyril Smith, Ed Heath. These are classic, you know, monsters of the British government. But also, I think Prince Andrew was in some way connected to King Cora too. So a lot of these scandals, again, you see the same pattern. You see probably what is intelligence in those cases, Savile, British intelligence, Elm Guest House, compromising people. And that seemed to tie in pretty closely with the royal family, in the sense of, I'm sure they have a role in wanting dirt and wanting compromising data on people. There's no way they could have been that close to Savile and not known these things. It would just be, I think, naive to think that they didn't. I mean, this is just part and parcel with how intelligence operations work. So I'm sure the royal family has had a role in that.
Yeah, King Charles's mentor, Lord Mountbatten, was linked to.
There you go. Mountbatten was a famous PEDO.
Yeah, and he got blown up by the IRA. All right, let's see. Next question. We're almost at the end here. Kardashians and Diddy, thoughts on that?
Yeah, in fact, that's come out. We were just talking about this on the Tripoli's podcast 2 days ago. I think there was a lot of clues and indicators in the life of the Kardashians as well, being involved in this kind of high-level occult stuff. In fact, the Christmas card that they sent out, around 2016, somewhere in there. If you look up the Kardashians Christmas card, it's the one where they're all kind of laid out in this weird apocalyptic mall scenario. And there's a bunch of satanic symbolism hidden in the card. For example, there's a giant pyramid with an all-seeing eye. You know, which is odd because at that time people weren't really connecting Kardashians necessarily to global conspiracies, but they seem to be kind of touting and proud of their level of this. You know, Kanye comes out of this, it seems to be traumatized, I think, from a lot of this stuff. And it's turned out a lot of what Kanye said was true. Maybe not everything, but a lot of it has been borne out. So I would not be surprised if they're not linked into this at a cult, SEX cult level.
Could you speculate as to who you think the elites linked to Diddy are?
Well, if it turns out that there is a connection with Jeff Stein McCaffrey, I wouldn't be surprised. I just think there's a lot of parallels between. I agree with you, Sean, that this is different because the Epstein thing is massive. It's global. This is not as massive as that. It seems to be something that's more confined to the circles of, you know, mid-level pop stars and rappers and, you know, presidents, maybe. But I would say that this probably high level people involved in this, maybe in the intelligence world, maybe moguls in entertainment.
Jay, tell the viewers where they can find and support you, please. And thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Anytime. Yeah. You can find me at jaysanalysis.com, which is my website. I got a member section there. You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram, everywhere that you find everybody else under my name. And then I've got two books on this topic, Esoteric Hollywood 1 and 2, which goes into a lot of film symbolism, a lot of occult Hollywood, the history of all of that. And I've got 300 pages of the third Esoteric Hollywood written right now. So that'll be out in a couple months. If you go to my website, you can get signed copies of all my books there.
Have you got audiobooks available for those?
Not yet. No, I still haven't done that yet.
I'm just going through Charlie Robinson's Octopus of Global Control audiobook right now. I'm on the Dick Cheney chapter. It's great.
Yeah, totally great.
Yeah. All right, Jay. So if there's any developments, I mean, there was tons of questions came in unanswered still. If there's any developments, we would love to get you back. Put a one in the chat if you'd like to see Jay come back. If there's any developments, put a two in the chat if he can bog off. I'll let you get on with your night, and I will close the show. Thank you, Jay. Cheers. All right,
thank you, Sean. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Take care, brother. Thank you. All right. So, like I said, Jay's links are in the description box. It's unanimously ones. Please subscribe. Let him know you've come from our channel. And a few questions come in that I could address. One of them is about OJ Shadow. OJ Shadow was reporting to us on the Mexican cartels. It seems he got arrested. It seems that his YouTube channel has been hacked. And people are worried that OJ Shadow is dead. We are investigating this. The strange things on his channel, like reposting of old videos and people asking for money. So we are investigating that, my friend, who kept putting that in the chat. We're going to be back tomorrow. Paula with Isaac Cappy. I did a good couple of hours on Isaac Cappy. It had to be removed off YouTube, and it is on my Rumble. A lot of the Jeffrey stuff that got removed from YouTube is on my Rumble. About Lou's asking about the airport in Maine, Arkansas. So I wrote a book, Who Killed Barry Seal? Was it Pablo Escobar, George H.W. Bush? And I get into the details about the airport in Maine, Arkansas, where Barry Seal is doing the drug drops for the Clinton crime family and the CIA and Oliver North and Felix Rodriguez and all those guys. And then Barry Seal gets expendable. So they put him in a halfway house. They let the cartel know where he's staying. They take away his bodyguard. They ban him from carrying guns, and he's a sitting duck. The cartel assassinating him, and then he's got George H.W.'s phone number on his corpse. Kind of ironic twist at the end there, betraying who was really responsible. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow with more, and we're going to try and keep it going all this next week. We've got Lionel coming on Tuesday night from Lionel Nation. We have got Ryan Dawson, hopefully. We've got Nick Bryant. We've got Charlie Robinson. Many, many more. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all your great questions. And we will.